This podcast was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details on this and other podcasts, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
Samantha Nelson is co-founder and vice president of the Hope of Survivors, a ministry addressing the issue of pastoral sexual misconduct. She holds a degree in biblical counselling and has worked with hundreds of families who have been abused by those in spiritual authority. Samantha has recently written a book titled Reaching the Hurting, a biblical guide to helping abuse victims, which aims to facilitate healing in the lives of those who have suffered all types of abuse. It's my very great pleasure to welcome Samantha to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Thank you, Rodney. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you give us a bit of an understanding, before we go into the book, what was it that sparked your interest in this whole area of abuse?
Well, you know, it was personal experience. Having been abused myself and seeing how God worked in my life to bring healing, I felt that it was very important to be able to share with others what He can do for them.
We find that more and more often we hear of stories of people who have been abused. But so often in the church, it's hushed up, isn't it? So that must make it harder for those people who have suffered abuse.
It is. Abuse in general is a very taboo and sensitive subject within the church. But abuse affects people of all denominations, all walks of life, whether they're in the church or not. And it's an issue that the church needs to take a good look at and needs to be able to provide resources for the people who are coming to that church who have been affected by abuse of any kind.
Have you found that so far people have been grabbing hold of your book and saying, finally, something that I can use to move forward in my life, that there just hasn't been anything out there, and finally I've got something that'll help me reach towards a breakthrough?
We've actually had people, Rodney, who have been very blessed by the book, able to take what was there and allow God to use it to work in their lives when all other methods have failed. And I think that it is a tool that can benefit people, whether they're in church or not, if they're willing to allow God to change their lives.
It's not really a lengthy book, and I guess this puts things in plain language and helps people just walk through step by step. I guess there was a great method in doing it that way.
Yes, because sometimes we can get really bogged down in all the technical language and things like that when people really just want answers. They want to know that there's hope. They want to know that they can heal, that they can be whole again, that they can maybe experience abundant life for the first time ever. And to bog people down with all kinds of language and labels and things like that isn't helpful.
Take us through the book. It seems that there's a chapter and then there's an area where people can actually work through it. So they're not just taking in knowledge, but they're actually going through as a workbook.
Yes, the book was designed with a narrative at the beginning of each chapter, and that narrative just basically tells in little tidbits of information the story of a young girl and woman who had been abused in various ways, and then each chapter goes into the issues that pertain to that type of abuse or that stage of the process. And at the end of each chapter, there's a Bible study guide so that people can look and see what the Bible has to say about what has happened and how they can heal from it. And it gives them an opportunity to be able to write out their thoughts and feelings and to really make a commitment to allow that change and that healing to take place and not continue to be weighted down by the pain of the past, but to really be set free from it and to be able to move on and experience the abundant life that Christ came to give us.
I find it interesting that you've got a chapter in there about loving God, loving your neighbour, but not loving yourself, when so often these days we're told that the way to break out of any sort of abuse is to put a very high value on yourself and decide that, no, I'm better than that and move forward. And you're saying that's not quite the case.
Well, it's not quite the case, and you're right. One of the things that I see in the hundreds of people that I've counseled who have been abused is if they've gone through a lot of the secular psychology methods, it teaches them to focus on themselves. And if we focus on ourselves too much, we're never going to be able to solve the issues and the problems and get beyond it, because we're just thinking of ourselves constantly. And whatever issue we may have had, whatever type of abuse it was, it's just going to become bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're never going to be able to move beyond it. But if we're able to focus on God or on someone else and allow them to have a positive impact on our lives, we're able to move beyond that. And it's just very dangerous for us personally to narrow our focus so much so that all we're consumed with and our thoughts and our time and everything that we're doing revolves around ourselves. And the Bible takes the position that we already love ourselves enough, that if we just loved God and others as much as we love ourselves, life would be a whole lot better.
I see also that you look at the subject of who's responsible, because I guess a lot of people who suffer abuse, they feel partly responsible for what's going on.
Well, you know, it depends on at what age the person was victimized. You know, if there's a child who has been abused, there's not a responsibility on that child's part. But if we're talking an adult who has maybe, like, in the situation with a pastor, there's points all along that time where the Holy Spirit is speaking to that woman saying, don't do this, you know, and say no. And maybe she's saying no, and the pastor, because of the imbalance of power and authority over her, is taking advantage of that anyway. She's vulnerable. She's gone to him for counseling, and he's using that to suit his own purposes. And again, that's not saying that all pastors are bad, because they're not, but there are a few out there who are not very ethical. But when someone is involved, adult, involved in a situation like that, they have a responsibility and accountability to God for their own actions. And we all do. Even in the case of someone who, take a man who has been abused as a child, and all he has known is how his father treated him, so he grows up and he treats his kids and his wife the same way he saw his dad do it, he's responsible for that behavior. Yes, it was wrong that he was abused, but he has a choice to make as he grows up, if he's going to model the behavior that he saw, or if he's going to make different choices for himself and for his family, and treat people with the proper respect and treatment that they deserve.
And it must be very difficult for people who have been abused by someone in spiritual leadership to say, well, that's not what should have happened, and then to hand it all back to God. Because I guess in some way, our idea of who God is sometimes wrapped up in who the people that he uses as leaders are.
That's very true, and it is extremely difficult for someone who has been harmed by a spiritual leader within the church to be able to separate God from that spiritual leader. And that's the problem that exists in a lot of places, that we tend to place this automatic trust in the pastor, and we tend to look upon them as, you know, they are representatives of God, but we tend to look at them more like God himself. And if we can, when that type of situation happens, be able to distinguish, okay, God did not do this to me. This man did this to me, and this man was not walking with God at the time that he did this. Therefore, you know, I have to be able to separate who God is from what this pastor did, because it's not the same. Even though the last place you want to go is to God, when this has happened, when you've been abused by a spiritual leader, that is the only place that you can go, because there's no place else to go.
I suppose there may be people listening at the moment who are suffering abuse at the hands of someone in spiritual leadership, and it must be difficult for them to decide, as you say, that the only place to go really is God, but they're going to need someone to confide in. It must be very difficult to find someone that they can trust when the person that they thought they could trust has become an abuser.
Yeah, trust issues are major in victims of any kind of spiritual abuse. And that's why, that's why I believe that the Lord raised up the Ministry of the Hope of Survivors, because we know what it's like. We've been there. We've been abused by the spiritual leader, by the pastor of our church. And there was a time when I was very angry with God, but he showed me very clearly, without him, I have no hope. And so by allowing him to take me and heal me and recreate me, I was able to come out of it and heal, and he raised up this ministry so that we could reach out to others who are going through the same thing. And it's easier for a woman to trust another woman who's been through it than to just trust anybody, you know, or a male person, a male figure, or even another pastor. There's a big lack of trust there.
Can you give us your website details? Because obviously you're in the US, we're here in Australia. If people are wanting to get in touch with you via the website, what's the best place to go?
They can go to www.thehopeofsurvivors.com, and there's email and phone there. And also, if there's anyone who wants to go read a book review from people who have read the book, Reaching the Hurting, that same website address, thehopeofsurvivors.com/RTH_testimonial.asp.
Okay, and we have those details here at 98.5 Sunshine FM, so if you weren't quick enough to jot them down, just give us a call here on 9276 8744 and we can pass on those details. Obviously, this book is about helping people to come to terms with the abuse that they've suffered and to break free from it, to grow closer to God and to move on in their lives. But what about those people who are doing the abusing? How difficult is it to then to forgive them and see them restored?
You know, that depends on the victim's willingness to really see the person, the offender, the way that God sees them. You know, one of the things that really gave me great compassion for the person who abused me was being able to look at him and know that unless he becomes repentant and gives his life back to God and confesses his sin and forsakes it, this is all that he's had, and that's sad. And so I'm able to look at him the way God sees him and have pity and compassion for him and pray for him that God will be able to reach him, that he will repent and turn his life over to God so that he may have eternal life. And forgiveness is such a very important part of the healing process. And for one of the things that people get so confused about is they think if they forgive someone, it means reconciliation, and that's not what forgiveness means. Forgiveness means letting go of our right to avenge ourselves or to take revenge, just leaving that person in God's hands and just letting go of it. It doesn't mean that you have to be reconciled to that person.
98.5 Sunshine FM. I'm speaking to Samantha Nelson, who has recently written the book Reaching the Hurting, A Biblical Guide to Helping Abuse Victims. Samantha, it's been a real delight to talk to you. And if our listeners are wanting to get more details, they can, as I mentioned, get in touch with us here at Sunshine FM and we'll pass on details. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ronnie. It was a pleasure.
For more details on this and other podcasts, go to the website sunshinefm.ws. No greed, no ridicule, no hurt.